Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and 6-9 Radio. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And let's proudly welcome back the owner and founder of 6-9 Radio and the host of Pipe Bomb Radio New York City, ladies and gentlemen, Ricky Litwinkiewicz.
What's going on, everybody?
Well, it's good to have you back, sir.
It's good to be back.
Hope you liked the intro.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Well, you're my best friend, Ricky, and I've learned so much from you. We have done a lot together, so you know what? It is my duty to acknowledge you, sir.
Well, thank you very much for that, even though I'm no Roman Reigns, but...
Well, when it comes to 6-9 Radio, Pipe Bomb Radio in New York City, you, sir, are the tribal chief.
I probably could see myself as the mayhem of tribal chief.
Absolutely. So, you watched Elimination Chamber, I presume?
Oh, and did I? So much to talk about on the lovely recent Elimination Chamber. So many theories, so many conclusions that we came up across. Oh, my Lord.
Well, obviously, everybody knows the one particular thing that I am dying to talk about, but we will get there.
Yeah, we will get there.
But first things first, what did you think of the show?
3 out of 4 matches, actually pretty good. Again, like, to me, the whole card of it only being 4 matches, okay? I can understand Elimination Chamber will take up most of your PLE, but give me 4 actual matches, not a welcome home to a local star of the place where you're having the event. I really think that they've done this now 2 pay-per-views in a row, really, with the Royal Rumble and now Elimination Chamber. They gave us 4 matches and then promo, which obviously it's now officially the road to WrestleMania. We now have, at this point, 7 weeks till the Mecca, you know, the show of shows, WrestleMania 41. Again, like, I find that when they only do 4 matches and then they give me the cigarette break, the toilet break, the let me go make a sandwich break, it really is not going to keep me riveted to my seat the way that maybe a WrestleMania will when you have an extremely large card. Outside of that, I think the 3 out of the 4 matches in the card were actually good. But again, like, they're tinkering with this whole 3-hour PLE thing, 3.5 hours. They're not trying to make it long by having a short amount of, you know, entertainment in it. But there are times where if you're going to give me that, I don't know how appreciative of it I will be at the end.
Well said. There was the one match that I really had zero interest in. Well, I think you know which one it is.
Let me guess. The women's tag team match.
Yeah. And no disrespect to the competitors, but it was just a match that I was not invested in whatsoever.
To me, again, this is like they did last month with DIY and the Motor City Machine Guns and that 2 out of 3 falls match. This was like, okay, let's go. If you're in the arena, this is the match where you go to get a hot dog, a pretzel, a beer, a soda, some type of chicken finger combo, run to the bathroom event. To me, again, welcome home Trish. She had her appearance. Whoop-de-doo. She made three appearances on SmackDown. For what reason? God knows what. Yeah, like, this one here was kind of like the nap that I planned on taking during the pay-per-view. And to be honest with you, like, it's the throwaway match. Like, and they did it as the second match on the card, which means they really wanted to try to get it out of the way early. But God, like, give me more substance to the pay-per-view so that way I feel better about it, that I actually keep interest in it. I'm not going to say it was a horrible match, but it was a match that probably you could have legitimately put something else there. For example, like, now you're writing the storyline for Rhea Ripley's WrestleMania match, which now is still undetermined until she faces Io Sky on Raw. Now you have Bianca Belair, which obviously, you know, she's now included. We'll obviously talk about Elimination Chamber, the women's part. But now, again, why could you have not put Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky in there instead of having Tippy, Trish, Nia, and Candice LeRae in there? Like, I probably would have wanted to see that more, unless they have a little bit more of a story that they want to unlock on Raw, which is, again, more rumor based than anything else, that, you know, possibly maybe that it's not going to be a one-on-one at Mania, that it might be triple threat. Again, that's a rumor, but I'll go into that a little bit later.
Yeah, I agree. A Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky definitely would have been better to see than that tag team match. But at least we're going to see the match on Monday Night Raw. We are recording here on this lovely Monday afternoon. So, the Women's Elimination Chamber match. Well, my prediction didn't really come true. But speaking of something that we didn't expect, who made her return?
Jade Cargill. Now, again, there is a lot of dirt sheet stuff out there. Okay? They tried to make it look like it was Liv and Raquel being the ones that jumped Jade. And obviously now we see the beginning of Women's Elimination Chamber. Jade comes out, first off, dressed all in black. And for some weird motif reason throughout this night, everybody was wearing white. Yeah, I don't know what that whole thing was, but a lot of people were wearing white for their gear. And in true Jade fashion, she comes out wearing black. You know, like, I am going to be the ass kicker. I am your, you know, judge, jury, executioner type deal. And again, I love the fake out that they made it look like they were going after poor Liv. And it's not Liv. It ends up being Naomi that she goes after. And Bianca is locked in the cell. She can't do anything. And that rampage goes on against Naomi. She gets slammed into the chamber door, which I thought that was a pretty sick finish to the spot. But she pretty much ragdolled Naomi, and Naomi did nothing. Like, there was zero bite from Naomi throughout that entire spot. So, yeah, I mean, the Jade thing coming back, definitely unexpected, and it was a great pop to start off the actual chamber, though.
I agree. And something that surprised me out of it, I thought Jade Cargill will actually take over Naomi's spot.
A lot of people thought that. And you know why? I think not necessarily that it probably should have been Jade. Because again, like, nobody thought Jade was coming back. But now, again, a lot of people put it on Naomi as the one taking Jade out, Rumor has it that it just wasn't Naomi that did it, that it was both Naomi and Bianca that took Jade out. And I have a feeling that there's kind of like their, the jealousy factor in this whole thing. Like, Jade came in, like, she's supposed to be under Bianca, you know, learning the craft, so to speak, being on the main roster. Because she didn't go to NXT. She went straight to the main roster. So, to me, like, Jade's popularity is getting up there. And I personally will say that Bianca didn't think she could do it on her own. So she said something to Naomi. And there were a lot of things that led up to it. That I go back and watch now. And you're like, Naomi's giving Bianca the eye and questioning a whole bunch of shit. You know? So maybe that might be what ends up being on the whole Jade Cargill thing. But let me just say, Bianca went from, like, soaked sponge to, like, hard iron in, like, a minute. Like, you could definitely see, like, the whole attitude change once she came out of the cell. So, you know, again, like, I question a lot of that shit. I mean, again, everybody wants to just put it on Naomi. But I think that was more of a group effort than it was just Naomi. Because, let's be honest, Naomi has never really been anything special her entire tenure in WWE, except for the glow and the whole dance thing. Like, that's it.
My gut feeling says that Bianca's responsible, and she basically framed Naomi in this particular situation. For so many months, we thought that this would lead up to a Bianca Belair heel turn. We thought Bianca Belair would turn heel probably 2 years or so ago, but that never happened. As far as expecting a heel turn from her, at this point, I'm just like, okay, if it happens, then I'll just get on my show and I'll talk about it. But the fact that I don't know what to expect, to me, that makes the story just even more exciting.
And you know what's sad is that, obviously, tonight on Raw, we have the whole fact of Rhea versus Io. Obviously, Bianca's probably going to make an appearance. So, and you really won't find out anything with the Jade Cargill thing till probably SmackDown, because Jade's on SmackDown. Naomi is on SmackDown. Bianca technically is on SmackDown. So you're really not going to find out any much more to this storyline until Friday, which is, you know, like it could drag out. You're going to find like 50,000 different things before you end up getting to SmackDown. Again, rumor mills go crazy. So, you know, it kind of questions the whole thing. And it's just one of those wait to be seen things.
Right. Who was your pick to win this match, by the way?
Actually, I was actually hoping for Alexa Bliss.
Me too. I mean, as a matter of fact, Alexa Bliss was my selection.
But you know what, though? It got to a point where a lot of people were reaching for Roxanne Perez. Obviously, she's leaving NXT. She's going to end up getting called up to the main roster probably around Mania, unless she's going to be doing double duty for now until they see what you can really get out of Roxanne. We've already seen the Liv story. We don't want to see more Liv versus Rhea. Liv's now got the tag team titles. That's going to be like a little bit of an interesting setup to see what they do with them for Mania. Obviously, it's not going to be a Bianca thing because she's now the number one contender for the title. You're obviously not going to put Naomi and Jade together. So now you're going to be looking for a new set of women for the tag team titles. And let's be honest, I think Bayley's kind of run her course right now. If she didn't do it at Mania last year, she wasn't doing it this year. So it only really left Bianca, Roxanne, and Alexa. But you know what? I don't think you really want to throw Alexa in that fast. Although I would have loved to have seen it, because then you have the whole Wyatt Six thing. But again, you know, your top contender right now is obviously going to be Bianca.
Well, as far as Roxanne Perez goes, I mean, I'm convinced that we're going to see Roxanne Perez versus Bayley at WrestleMania. That's why I didn't have either of those two winning.
You know what, though? Like, I think, I mean, they've had a little bit of a build already. Like, you've seen, obviously, Bayley's been on NXT. She's been on NXT more than she's been on Raw or SmackDown. Let's be honest. But they could probably slow build that a little bit more till Mania. Again, 7 weeks is a long time. And now there's no PLEs in between. I think if there's maybe two NXT PLEs, that's it. And how do you really slow build that with now all of the other stories that are going on leading up the road to WrestleMania?
I agree. So overall, what do you grade the match, Ricky?
I would go B+. I think the addition of Jade coming back unexpectedly, taking out Naomi, I think that was obviously a big pop to start. Match-wise, it's not like you don't have five other women in there that don't know what they're doing. Obviously, Roxanne is the only one that really didn't have chamber experience. But also at the same rate, though, I think the storyline went well. Would I have necessarily gone with Bianca? Because now we're going to probably see again Bianca and Rhea and Io. You know what? B+ is probably as far as I would go.
And now we get to Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn unsanctioned match. Ricky, I know that you adored this one for sure, brother.
I did in a way. To me, honestly, I thought this should have been a Mania match. I think that they probably would have given more action to Mania. I thought that maybe like this was kind of rushed in a way that, you know, the significance of Zayn and Owens dating back to the Ring of Honor days, you know, them both breaking into the business. Obviously, Zayn being El Generico back in the day, like, I think that carnage probably would have been a bit more for Mania than Elimination Chamber. Like, I'm pretty sure there's other matches, storylines, whatever, we could have added to it. The carnage? My lord. The only part of the carnage I was not a fan of, okay? And I think this is probably, you know, WWE, Triple H, The Rock, you know, all of the higher-ups, kind of making a slight modification to a weapon, that really kind of annoyed me a little bit. And that would be the barbed wire steel chair. First off, I don't think I've ever seen a barbed wire steel chair in the pattern of a shirt, you know, like a, you know, like a, you know, a plaid shirt. Like, that kind of was a little confusing, because normally, if you're looking at hardcore, you're just seeing a crap load of barbed wire wrapped around a chair. Like, I don't think I'd ever seen it braided onto a chair before like that. So, that was my only little snafu to the whole unsanctioned match. But I probably may have, you know, not seen the Randy Orton return.
I never expected that one.
I think that was a little confusing.
It sure was.
I mean, overall, like when you're talking about hardcore, I'm not saying that this was ECW hardcore. This was definitely WWE branded hardcore. But again, like, I don't want to try to do a comparison between Randy Orton and Sami Zayn, but they kind of made it look more like Randy Orton was important than Sami Zayn was to have him return at Elimination Chamber. I you know why? Like, it to me, it questioned probably it could have gone in a different direction. That it could have just been that maybe both guys didn't make it out of this match unscathed instead of the Owens push.
Like, well, I'm not surprised Owens went over on this one.
I don't know. Like, they, I don't know if they really have a handle on the Kevin Owens situation. I mean, they had him lose the ladder match to Cody at Rumble. They had him lose at Saturday night's main event. Him running around with the Winged Eagle for however long. You know, like, I don't know if maybe they're kind of saying, hey, like, I think this Kevin Owens story or the longevity of Kevin Owens being relevant, maybe that's run out. And that they need to figure out how to, once again, make him take a break and, you know, repackage him or find, like, a new story set for him. But again, like, I thought this was more of a Caliber Mania match than a Chamber match, to be honest.
Right, because I predicted that this match would end in a no contest because I figured that this would ultimately be settled at WrestleMania. So now I'm feeling it's going to be Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania. But the question in my case is, where does Sami Zayn go from here?
I think Sami Zayn's off TV for a while. And let's be honest. The Bloodline stuff is finished. Obviously, you haven't seen Reigns since Rumble. And I don't think there's really no packaging for him right now. You can't put him in the Intercontinental title picture because obviously you got Breaker there, AJ, like, the list is growing for that title. So you're not really going to see him in that picture. And without him really having a spot, there's no place for him in his solos run right now. So you could write him off and maybe do a magic return of him at Mania, maybe. You know, like, you know, maybe he somehow interferes in the Orton-Owens match that they're probably going to be setting up for Mania. Like, there's no real spot for him right now. You could write him off with this, you know, like, he's now not going to be cleared for a while ordeal and go from there.
If he were to show up at WrestleMania and interfere in the match between Owens and Orton, would he turn heel and help Owens win, or would he help Randy Orton win, and why?
I think if it would be anything, it probably still would be maybe face just to stick it to Owens. You know, like, he might actually be able to go into, like, a tweener role. Like, he can go into the, oh, you know what, like, you screwed me. After Raw Netflix, after I had the Punk match, and then, you know, obviously the unsanctioned match, you know, like, there's possible ways to do it, but you know what? Again, how many times do we want to see kind of like the same interchangeable parts going along? Like, he wrote up Orton for a reason, you know, like, they wrote up, they had the injury angle with him, get him off TV. You know, like, it seems that, like, with as much talent WWE has, they still have to push their older talent for some reason. I don't know what it is, but, like, Orton said he wanted to wrestle till 50. I don't see him wrestling till 50. Again, like, we'll talk about other parts, but, you know, like, when you have this older talent laying around, obviously you're not going to have them sit home and collect a paycheck. So you'll use them, you'll push them as long as you can. But again, like, this Orton Owens Zayn thing is, it's just a little far out there.
It really is. It really is. As far as I'm concerned, if Zayn were to get involved in the match and help Orton win, it would obviously pick up the whole Owen-Sami Zayn thing, and if that's the case, I think it's going to culminate to a Hell in a Cell match, or an I Quit match.
Well, rumor has it that the Orton-Owens match may be Hell in a Cell at Mania.
Okay, really?
That's a rumor, but I mean, we're obviously not going to have another unsanctioned match.
obviously.
Apparently, even though we're out of the PG era at this point, right? Do you really see another unsanctioned match? Do you really think the heads, Nick Khan and Triple H and whoever was the producer for that match, well, unsanctioned match, do you think they really felt comfortable doing that? No, I don't think so. And let's also be honest, too. We didn't see any red during that match. So I don't know. Like, if you're dealing with an unsanctioned match, I'd want to see somebody wearing that crimson mask. And we didn't get to really see that. So, again, I don't really know how the writing was for that. But I don't know if you're really going to end up seeing something like that. We're probably going to get generic, regular Orton Owens at Mania. But it would be more spicy if we had like a Hell in a Cell. I mean, Hell in a Cell is a pain in the ass to, you know, kind of manage during a Mania like that. But also at the same right, like, I don't know. Like, it can't be a regular straight up Owens Orton match.
No.
Because then you're really going to put yourself in the predicament of who you really have win the match.
I agree. And as far as Sami Zayn goes, if he's written off of television, then he could very well miss WrestleMania, which would be unfortunate. But as you kindly explained, right now you tell yourself there's nothing for him because, well, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't really think of a relevant storyline for Sami Zayn moving forward. Can you?
No, not at all. And I can't even say that, like, you could put him in with any enhancement talent. Because there's not really any other enhancement talent to put him in with.
Exactly so.
And he's on Raw. So Raw is going to be basically full of all the stars. Like, where do you really fit him in?
Well, there you go. And truth is, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Well, do we finally move on to the men's elimination chamber?
Yeah. What they're listing as the most star-studded elimination chamber, with the exception of Logan Paul being the only one that truly really doesn't have longevity in the chamber. Like, he was in there 1 year, and I was like, why?
I remember, you know, like, we talked about it one time.
I mean... He's had a little bit more experience now, right? He's fairly decent on the stick. And his moveset has grown. Obviously, the titanium hand will always play a huge deal in whatever he does. But let's be honest. Everybody wrote him off correctly. But I didn't really think that the way that they would keep him in that long was the main part of it, really. Like, he was the third one eliminated, and I was kind of okay with that. But yeah, you know, the order that they went out, obviously McIntyre out, eliminated by Priest, storyline for WrestleMania in 7 weeks, right? Because they've been drawing at each other for a while. So let's not put that to the side. Then you got Paul eliminated, obviously by CM Punk, so they went with that run. And then, not to kind of bash track the whole chamber match, Cena and Punk versus Rollins, they pull out the heart attack, you know, the famous finisher from the Heart Foundation. Which was a little, it wasn't perfect, okay? Cena had Rollins up a little too high, so Punk had to adjust. But to see Cena and Punk team up raised a few questions, okay? It raised a few questions. I'm not fronting on that part, okay? But it did raise some questions of, you know, oh, now Rollins just says, screw you, Cena, let me let you sit in the cell. And then let's just make it probably a WrestleMania preview. More Punk versus Rollins. Oh, They're pulling the same shady shit like they did with McIntyre. Drop the ball and then get eliminated. You know, like, they kind of rolled that a little bit. But to me, I think everybody just kicking out of finishers, that kind of raised my eye a little. You know, like, you guys, like, Punk is obviously a lot more talented to just keep going, you know, GTS. He used his Anaconda Vice and the GTS as, like, moves throughout the entire whole match when it was him and Cena. Like, battle of the finishers. Like, I would have rather loved to have seen more than that. If you're going to leave them as the last two. Give me good 6 minutes of actual, like, moves and shit. Instead of me just dropping finishers the entire time and them kicking out of each other's finisher. Like, that just, to me, didn't work. It really didn't.
So you felt that there were a lot of hiccups in this particular match?
Until it got to the whole Cena, Rollins, Punk part. I mean, I loved the combo finisher of the GTS into the AA. I thought that was kind of cool. And I thought it was really kind of cool that, you know, Punk got the fall on Rollins, which obviously, again, we're setting up more WrestleMania than anything else at this point.
Obviously.
But I think that Punk Cena end could have been better. It could have been better. I'm obviously happy with the result. I'm happy with the result. Because then we got the lovely 9 minutes afterwards, which is more of the meat and potatoes of the men's elimination chamber that I think a lot of people really, really wanted to see. I thought that was the main gusto for it all.
I mean, let's be honest, the segment at the end, that was the main event. But my thoughts on the elimination chamber, well, I did predict that Punk would eliminate Paul, but I did say Paul would come back and cause the elimination of Punk, so that obviously did not happen. But I did predict that Drew McIntyre would be eliminated first by Damian Priest, and then Priest would be the victim of McIntyre because McIntyre would cause the elimination of Priest. So at least one of my predictions came true. And I'm not surprised that McIntyre was eliminated first. If you think about it, it makes sense because, as Ricky said, it helps build the storyline. Priest eliminated McIntyre in the Royal Rumble. Priest eliminated McIntyre from the Elimination Chamber. Makes sense, right, Ricky?
It does. But you know what, though? Like, now, again, like, McIntyre can be a baby about how the whole Mania thing is going to be. He obviously is a main event. He's not mid-card, okay? But at the same rate, though, like, now, you know, the heads of the mountain have changed, obviously. Okay? You don't have Reigns now as a full-time main eventer, right? You brought Punk back in. You have Rollins up there. Obviously, Priest is not a mid-carder. So why now can we kind of push McIntyre down? Like, I understand 2024, he had opportunity after opportunity, and they wrote it to him being pretty much having a case of ADHD. You know, like, he really should be used a lot better. However, now you have a loaded card. He's obviously not going to be a main eventer at WrestleMania. I believe, you know, they kind of are doing the antagonistic thing with McIntyre by using Priest. Priest, again, you know, former heavyweight champion. McIntyre, temporarily a 5-minute heavyweight champion. And then obviously back to the days, you know, where you're living amongst guys like Lesnar and everything else like that. But again, like, you kind of look at the landscape. Obviously, I don't believe McIntyre is incorrect by not being in a main event spot. But again, like, Priest versus McIntyre should be a good match.
Absolutely. And I will say, when around the finish of the match, when Rollins out of nowhere delivered a stomp to CM Punk on the concrete, And then at the end, well, we talk about, well, there was a sign right there, which we'll get to, but I thought that was brilliant. That stomp to the concrete and then Cena takes advantage of it. Perfect. And I can honestly say, you know, I spoke about Punk versus Paul at WrestleMania. I think at this point, nope. I think that ship has sailed away. I think that the ship I'm on board now is Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus CM Punk.
There was Twitter or X or whatever the fuck you want to call it, that tags that Reigns was at Chamber. Now, from my understanding, and I actually went back and listened to the press conference part. Okay. And Triple H said once that Chamber match started, it may not go the way that it was scheduled out to be. And I kind of caught that. And I sat there and said to myself, you know, obviously, like, you had Rollins and Punk in there, and then you had Punk get the curb stomp, and that was to the cage, not to the concrete, by the way.
Oh, that's
the
right.
The steel part of the chamber, yeah. Outside of the ring.
Right.
And then you kind of had Rollins looking like a stalker. You kind of like, you know, the whole Jack Nicholas, you know, through the door kind of feel to the whole deal. And I sat there and I thought, well, you know what? Now is not the time that you bring Reigns out. That's going to be a Raw thing. And I think that's probably going to be maybe about a month before we look at the Mania card on the 19th and the 20th. Because not for anything, when you kind of look at that situation, the one main thing that looms over my head is what is the favor from Punk? Like, if we end up getting, let's say, night one, Rollins, Reigns, and Punk, and it's probably like the second to last match on night one, that maybe, just maybe, we might see something else happen. Punk is going to end up calling in that favor. Like, that favor thing is huge right now. Like, it's a cloud thought of, like, what Punk might do. But if we have Reigns return at some point, which, again, like, they haven't talked about Reigns in a while. They talked about him the one week after Rumble, and they haven't said anything about Reigns whatsoever. So now he's ghosting. And if he was at Chamber on Saturday and Triple H decided, hey, this is not the time for you to interject yourself, like, that's still ghost. So we may see Punk Rollins again, and they'll have to figure out something else for what's his face?
The Tribal Chief?
For Paul. No, for Paul.
Oh, for Logan Paul.
So for Logan Paul. So now, let's not even think about Logan Paul, CM Punk, because now they made it more Rollins Punk, and Logan Paul is just going to be an afterthought. But there were also other rumors that, again, like the hand gestures as we lead into that final segment from The Rock, when he came out and he did that thing with Cody and he did this, a certain superstar does this. So, tease, okay? Another tease as we get into the Cody segment. Go back and listen to the Chris Van Vliet interview with John Cena. John Cena leaked last month. He was turning heel. And a lot of it led up to it, him interjecting himself in not qualifying for Elimination Chamber after Royal Rumble, okay? The not seeing John Cena, as much as everybody would say that we were going to see him before Elimination Chamber, okay? And to be deathly honest, for the first time in the longest time, like, Rock has been vulgar on the PLEs. He's not really been vulgar on TV. Like, he's been kind of, he's been keeping it tame to TV standards, even on the Netflix stuff. But for Cody, who's the face of your company, you know, he's the quarterback, you know, for him to plan out and tell somebody to go fuck themselves, there's a lot going on there. And the expressions, if you've seen the videos of Michael Cole and Pat McAfee sitting at commentary after Cody said that, they were like, what the fuck just happened? Our face champion just told somebody to go fuck themselves. That was pretty epic. Not gonna lie, it was pretty epic.
It definitely was. I mean, I can only imagine your reaction when you were watching it live when Cody told The Rock, the final boss, Rock, go fuck yourself. Now, the build-up to that, now, we got to remember, last week on SmackDown, that segment between the two.
All I'm going to say is this. I really wish I was able to get to my nephew's ears quicker when Cody said that. Because you know what? I understand the times are changing and they are kind of giving it more attitude the way it used to be. Not talking about like the ruthless aggression era or any of that, but like it's a new era where they're letting loose a little bit more. But I guarantee you Peacock was not happy with the go fuck yourself deal.
You think?
And obviously, like there are a lot of questions that I need answered after this. But definitely Cena going from that happy-go-lucky, let me give Cody a hug for telling The Rock to go fuck himself, to that stone face, like, man, oh man, shades of 2003. I loved it. I mean, even though the bald spot was made like a big issue on Cena the entire time, you know, the second time we get to see Cena heal, I hope for the next 10 months, this is more of an epic heel run than we had back in 2002, 2003. Because man, oh man, the things that they could do with Cena now as heel, him running with The Rock, and no offense, Travis Scott. No. I can't do the Travis Scott thing. I'm sorry.
Well, he's not the third man.
No. But apparently, though, like, there's a lot of signals now that there is another person coming. And I would not be surprised if it ends up being somebody maybe like rumor CM Punk, rumor Seth Rollins. Like, I could probably see that because, you know, The Rock, like a dumbass, did this and then finishes with a two. So now there's another person joining this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. This is not just going to be dumbass Travis Scott, who hits like a bitch, Cena and The Rock. Like, this may be like a newer version of the corporation, but more like corporate Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, like he said he was done. I wouldn't put this past WWE. A return to Batista wouldn't be horrible. You don't have to involve him as much. He could be like an outside guy, not have to wrestle as much. I mean, the man's 50 years old, so let's not put that anything past him.
56, actually.
But again, like, there could be a lot more possibilities than it just being Cena and Rock. And again, like, I really don't understand the Travis Scott thing. Like, he doesn't make very much
sense. Well, remember at Bad Blood, when The Rock briefly appeared after, I think, Cody and Roman Reigns teamed up to go against Solo, and I think it was Jacob Fatu. Rock came out, looked at Cody and Roman, and did that same throat slash gesture. And then did this, and then, yeah. Keep in mind,
so,
I mean,
again, like,
The Rock's been up to something for months.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Like, it was weird that they had him face and then heel and then face and then heel. Like, he's trying to play both sides of the coin on this. But let me, I'm not going to say that I was not hoping for Cena to turn heel, though. I have been beating for that for a while. But now a lot of, if you go back and you look at the Van Fleet interview, and some of the other things that have been going on with Signals from the Rock and everything else, like, I think all of the Easter eggs were planned there. They were laid out pretty well. I really would like to know who the two is. And again, this might be another huge rumor because they had Travis Scott running with a Yeet that maybe that singles run might be over as well. Like, I wouldn't put it past them, but if you have Travis Scott running around with certain people, they're planting more seeds somewhere else.
So Jey Uso could be the third guy?
I think Jey Uso is the second addition to the corporate Hollywood deal, which in a lot of sense, though, if you kind of look at it, we're looking at a damned if you do, damned if you don't world heavyweight title match between him and Gunther at Mania. And again, that's probably going to be night one. So why wouldn't you then now kind of trash that? Maybe actually give Jey the title and then Cena wins at night two. Then you've got your corporate champions.
Mm-hmm. Corporate Hollywood.
Corporate Hollywood. Imagine that.
Imagine that. I know. Look at that. The post Vince McMahon era beginning to grow and grow and grow. The heel turn so well executed. And there were two particular signs that we should have seen, because we should have seen this coming. Number one, Cena did not have to qualify while all the other competitors did. He just put himself in the match. Number two, mm-hmm. at the end, when Rollins stomped Punk onto the steel, not the concrete, but I know everybody knows what I was saying, right into that steel, Cena just took advantage of it. Didn't even react to what Rollins did, at least not in a holy, why the hell did you do that babyface sort of thing. He just took advantage of it. That was sign number two. When it happened, I mean...
Yeah, and if you also go to notice, did you see the way that the move was put on Punk?
Mm-hmm.
It was not put on regular. It was legit put on Bull. Like, that was not the whole... Like, if you go back and look to the... Like, what we call the STFU, all right? Let's not freaking go anything further. It is the STFU, right? If you go look in the beginning, Cena only had it around Punk's chest. Like, Punk had room to move, right? And then you go back and you look at the end. Like, Cena's forearms were across Punk's face. There was a very significant difference between the two moves. Like, here's the, okay, we're not finishing the match. Now, here's the me fucking you up at the end of the match. You know, like, there's a very big difference there. So there were, again, if you were not really paying attention to a lot of it and you go back and watch from Rumble to the end, because now they're even questioning the Jey Uso finish against Cena, that it wasn't even a drawn-out ending. Like, there's a lot, again, there's a lot of Easter eggs running around. You have to really go back and kind of look at the run from Rumble to now to see all of these different changes that you might have happened by Mania, or even at Mania for that matter. Like, they said this weekend was going to be groundbreaking, ground shaking, earthquaking. Yeah, Cena turning heel, that was definitely an earthquake and a half.
It definitely was. Like I said, at first, Rhodes comes out to, you know, to congratulate Cena. And then after that, the final boss, Cody tells the final boss to go fuck himself. Cena is cheering it. And then he and Rhodes embrace. Cena gives the Rock a certain look. And the Rock gives a signal. boom, right in the freaking family jewels, and that looked extremely painful. You know what? Everybody's going on in a war. This was better than Hogan's heel turn in 1996. You know what? If you want to compare it, fine, but I would say no, because it didn't get the reaction, because there was no loud booing. There were cheers, and half the crowd was cheering. The other crowd was just silent, and there was no trash thrown in the ring.
You know what, though? I'm going to go. I want this to be like the last final part for the episode, okay? They compare the Hogan heel turn in 96 to this. My reasoning that they made that actual heel turn in 96, Hogan wasn't relevant anymore. Hogan, at that point of his career, right, had done it all. He'd obviously flourished in WWE. He gets there. He has the epic stuff with Blair and Jarrett. And those were guys that were WCW made. Okay? There was nothing left for Hogan to really do except turn heel, become part of a faction, let him run that faction, but not push the envelope on Hogan, because again, Hogan, let's kind of say it, was in the twilight of his career at that point. When you have a star of that magnitude, that's the only way you're going to be able to make them last a little bit longer. And when you, again, like it's, again, it's Scott Hall, it's Kevin Nash, right? These guys were brought to WCW for a reason. It wasn't because they wanted WWF, WWE to invade WCW. They brought them in for the talent. They brought them in for the persona. And in the long story, you got guys with that talent. Now you bring Hogan in. Hogan is pop, but Hogan doesn't have to do very much. Hogan is a person you stick on the mic. So the differences between Hogan not having very much left and to keep him in the company for the longevity versus something we've been waiting 22 years to see in Cena going back to heel. What version of heel? Nobody knows. But when you have somebody as a face for that long, like a Sting, for example, Sting never really went heel. He stayed face 99% of the time. When you got somebody for that long that's a face, it's time to change, you know, it's time to change the sheets. And having Cena turn heel, which everybody's been cramming for the longest time, now we get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to finish out his story, to have him be a heel. That's more significant than Hogan becoming heel.
Well said. And to be honest with you, now I'm asking, now that he's heel, is he actually going to retire this year? Or is this all a ruse?
You know, I will go on record and say I think he's done at the end. At the end of the 10 months, he's done. I'm not saying he's never going to come back to WWE. Okay? Like Triple H had said in his press conference, WWE will always be Cena's home. Same way Austin, when he retired, it's always been his home. You've never seen him go anywhere else. You know, like, there are quite a few of the bets, the old school guys. Like, obviously, Undertaker's retired. He's doing that new show on Sundays, which I'm going to tell you is very interesting if you haven't caught it yet. But a lot of guys have made their bed. They know what they're in. You know, like, they don't want to go anywhere else.
Right.
And that's been the same way for Cena. Granted, you know what? He got into the whole show business thing. He's doing movies. He's doing Toyota commercials. You know, like, he found his life after WWE. But again, he's like The Rock. Keeps coming back. Stone Cold keeps coming back. Undertaker keeps coming back. Like, I think that core four right there will always have a home. They don't worry about going anywhere. They're taken care of really well. So, yeah, we're going to see the Cena thing all the way through. I personally, I would love to see Cena finish out as a heel. I want to see him have 17. As much as Ric Flair is like, oh, I'll get off my blood thinners and I'll make sure that you don't win the 17th and I'll come out and support Cody or whatever. The Cena thing's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I really would love to see the heel finish. So that way we will not see him again after the 10 months. But not as a performer, as a personality, probably.
Well, obviously, it kills my Cody heel turn prediction. Obviously, that's not going to happen because Cena turned heel. But one final point, the press conference. I think it went quite well.
I will tell you, the only ones I really, truly kind of watched was I wanted to really see what Cena was going to do. He did the mic drop. Heel fashion. The Triple H part of the press conference explained a lot. Now, again, if you're not sitting there, you're just there for the story, then you don't watch the press conference. But to know what like all of the questioning was, and Triple H was up there for like a half hour, and he gave a lot of insight to a lot of things that were going on throughout the night during Elimination Chamber. I kind of like to know that stuff.
Yeah.
Not I mean, only as important. Being a fan, but you're sitting there like not only as a fan, but you're also as an analyst, like you want to know intricate little shit that goes on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. That's why you watch a Triple H at a frickin' press conference. This is why you watch Cody, who is not only doing performer stuff, but he's also doing backstage stuff too. Like those are the things you really want to see. You know, the only problem I had with that press conference was The Rock. Like he is fucking all over the place. If you're going to be the final boss, give me final boss. Shut the fuck up about all the TKO shit. And that's it. Like he's just way too all over the place.
Right. Like but we don't want to see Dwayne Johnson. We want to see the final boss.
Exactly. I want to see the asshole. I
mean, we love Dwayne Johnson. Don't get us wrong. We love Dwayne, but we want to see the final boss.
Yeah, that's what I really kind of want to see. But outside of that, like, you know, obviously there's a lot to talk about in the next 7 weeks before we get to the 19th and the 20th for Mania. Raw should be very interesting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I just hope Seth Rollins doesn't come out looking like either the red version of Gumby or a fucking oven mitt. Like, that was horrible designing by Seth. So I'm kind of hoping we don't see that, but I guarantee you there's going to be Punk Rollins stuff and obviously talk about Cena in the heel return and man, oh man, the storylines that could come out of Monday Night Raw tonight.
Mm-hmm. And yep, I will in fact be producing an episode after the episode of Monday Night Raw. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just what I do. I keep the workload going. I am always ready for a challenge. As a matter of fact, I'm hungry for a challenge. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before Ricky and I let you go, we're going to take the opportunity to listen to Ricky give us a couple announcements regarding his new project. Have at it, Ricky.
6ix9ine Radio on the Zeno Radio app. 24 music. Well, 24/7 music. And we also have the programming on there. The week leads off with Ringside Chaos at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Followed by Motley Metal at Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Four Corners Podcast, our second additional wrestling podcast on the station, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we finish out our week with Pipe Bomb Radio NYC at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday evenings. The guest list always somehow varies on that show. This past week, we have four fucking people on that show, and no joke, brought back memories big time. So definitely the program to check out. All the brand new merch is up on threadless.com, patreonpipebomb.threadless.com. More merch coming soon. And we also will be probably doing some live radio broadcasting from Franklin, Maine during the MEW events. More news coming on that soon.
Well, Ricky, thank you all very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, last week I was on Ricky's show. Man, oh man, did it feel like old times, and God, it felt good. Ricky, I'm so grateful that you invited me to the show last week. I can't wait to do it again. Thank you again for coming on this show to discuss Elimination Chamber, and I cannot wait to do this again. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can find Ringside Chaos on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Pandora, as well as YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify, please leave your thoughts in the comments on what you think. Amazingly, you can now actually leave comments if you're listening on your computer. And also, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review because those help greatly. And we thank you so much for the love and support. Ricky, thank you again. I love you. Love everybody. Y'all have a good one. And God bless.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.